This is working with adult children divorced in your single adult ministries, and we've been visiting before you guys. Some of you came in. I hope you get a lot out of this. They are recording this, so I think what I'm going to do, because I would like to have a really open environment, and when you want to ask a question, I want you to ask that question. You know, the brain research shows if you have a question that you will not learn anything for the next 90 minutes until you can do something with that question. That means either ask the question, write it down, do something with it. So there's a lot of information to pump into your brains today. So I think probably what I'll do is if you have a question, I'll just walk close to you and put the microphone up to you, or I'll repeat your question or whatever. So my name is Linda Ranson Jacobs, and for my daytime job, I work at Church Initiative, and I develop the Divorce Care for Kids program. I have about 30 years of experience in working with children with challenging behaviors, and there's a lot of new research studies out. I just read one yesterday that got my blood to boiling that said that really children going through divorce are not that, they're resilient, they're not that bad off. And in the 70s, we had that term, these children are resilient, and what we have found out is they're not resilient. They're resilient over time and when they have a good support system around them. So I just constantly talk about what's happening to our children, because this is our next generation. And now a big part of our young adults are adult children of divorce. And we really haven't had too many studies done or ways for the church to reach out to these adult children of divorce. So I'm going to kind of combine several things. The adult children of divorce, some children's stuff, where these children came from, just kind of a combination, so you have a good background, and we can discuss the adult child divorce. I want to read to you, first of all, from 1 Thessalonians 2. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And it's not in your handout. I just came across the scripture this week, and it really jumped out at me, because it says, for you know that we dealt with you, each of you, as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you. Well, if you look at the statistics up here, some of these are new statistics, some are several years old, but the latest statistics for 14 to 18-year-olds, only 42% of 14 to 18-year-olds in the United States live in their original birth family. 42%. That means almost 60% of your teenagers, who are soon 18, going to be moving into some of your singles ministry, grew up in not their original two-parent home. They didn't all grow up in a divorce. A lot of it is cohabitation, death, but the majority of those children have experienced their parents' divorce. 25% of 20 to 30-year-olds grew up in a divorced home. And those, I think I said a different number. I think it said 30% on your handout. It kind of depends on what study you read, what statistics you lay with the U.S. Census Bureau, whatever. Over 1 million children per year since Ronald Reagan signed the no-fault divorce bill back in, I think it was 69, a million children a year now experience their parents' divorce. And I think the last year was 1.5 million children in the United States experienced their parents' divorce. This is astronomical. So what are we going to do? I mean, this is our legacy. This is our future. And these children, hopefully, these teens will move into your singles ministry. I say hopefully, because after you get through with today's session, you'll find that that's going to be kind of rare. These are the legacies of children of divorce. Now, I have to tell you, this isn't all children of divorce. Okay, don't get down, because there is hope. And you can raise healthy two children in a single-parent home. So while he's doing that, I'll give you my own personal story. My children were 8 and 12 when their dad left, and they are now 30 and 34. And my daughter is in the Air Force. She's a staff sergeant. She's as high as she can go. She was stationed, her and her husband, in England. They just moved back this year to the United States, so I'm excited, because they have three children. She's a wonderful young mother, very dedicated, very organized, and contributes to her society today. She was in Kuwait right before the 9/11, had just got back, and I was just horrified at what she told me went on in Kuwait. And so she loves the military. married. She likes that lifestyle. She's a wonderful young woman. My son is a doctor in Wichita, Kansas. He just finished his med school, and he's in his residency now. And he has a stepdaughter that's just turned 13, and he has two children. They just had a baby. And again, he's a wonderful young man. They were raised in a single-parent home, a divorced home. I don't believe in divorce, and yet I'm a divorced person. I've remarried now. But they had wounds through the divorce, and they are resilient children. But it took a lot of people, and it took the Holy Spirit and God for these children to survive. It is not easy. Are any of you single parents? Okay, so you know, single parent is one of the hardest roads you will ever travel, and God has a special place in His heart for single parents. I can testify to that because I could sit here and talk all day long about what the Lord did for me. So I just want to say that, you know, preface this talk with that, because it's important that you understand that children can grow up and be healthy. But we are making a lot of mistakes in our society today, and we could make it easier for you single parents and the children, and we could make it easier in the church realm, because many times people don't feel comfortable in the church. So the adult child of divorce, I feel, and this is my own personal opinion, is we have got to start working with the adult child of divorce. We have to, or they're going to divorce. If they marry, they will divorce, and this cycle is just going to keep repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating. A really good study, if you're interested in, is Between Two Worlds by Elizabeth Marquardt. Just a very dynamic study, and she is an adult child divorce, and she studied along with, I can't remember the guy, you can look at this, at the book. But they studied so many 100,000 adult children of divorce, and she's changed the way society looks at adult child of divorce, and it's probably one of the few that ties into biblical teachings. And her information is amazing. So adult children of divorce have a legacy of having anxiety and depression. And I'm going to kind of tie this in as to what happens when they come to your singles ministry. Many teens are promiscuous, and of course teen pregnancy is high. Thankfully, that's going down a little bit now around the United States. But you'll see the singles in your singles ministry. Many of them are very promiscuous. You may not ever know that, but you probably suspect that a lot. And that's just a legacy. A couple of years ago, well, actually when we were putting together the, doing some training for divorce care for kids, we had a young man, 17-year-old, working with us, and it was shared that, you know, I'm trying to stay true, but when my mom has different men sleeping in the bedroom all the time, it's really hard for me to stay pure and true, because this is the model that's put in front of so many of these adults, the teenagers. So then, of course, when they move into their adult years, many adult children divorce want to cohabitate because they're scared to get married. And you know the old saying, I want to live together and see if it's going to work out before we get married. And like you said, what did you say? It takes two what? Healthy people to go into a marriage.
Well, yes. We want to try out commitment because we're not sure of commitment, so we'll do something that has no commitment.
Right, because we don't know how to commit. That's another part of the legacy. And also, they will divorce as adults. Because, you know, God designed us to do what our parents do, what our parents model for us. So unless there's some intervention somewhere along the way, many adult children divorce will end up divorcing themselves. And this scares me. Oklahoma, I lived in Oklahoma almost all my adult life. And they started this marriage movement way early, I mean several years ago. It's just a dynamic thing they've got going on in Oklahoma. They use some of the TANF money, the government money. And I know Senator Hendricks, that was part of that, building all that up. And when I lived in Oklahoma, I served on a lot of state committees, and I kept hammering, children, don't forget the kids. Well, Oklahoma is reducing their divorce right now. They really are. It's phenomenal what they're doing. But they're leaving the children out of the picture still. And I said to Senator Hendricks one day, I was back visiting, I go, so proud to know you and read your name on Smart Marriages and everything. And I said, it's too bad that, you know, in about 10 years, the divorce rate's going to jump sky high. And he's like, What do you mean? I go, because you're not working with the children. And if you don't work with the children and they grow up and they marry, you have a whole generation of kids who experience their parents' divorce. And somebody better start working. But so far, my comments have fallen on deaf ears. Also, another legacy is pulling away from the Lord. This is, I'll give you some stories, and I'll give you one story right now. 3 years ago, I remarried in 2002, and when we moved to North Carolina, my husband and I were doing a divorce care class. And one Sunday night, one of the ladies didn't show up, and so we called. Well, come to find out, she was in jail. Her husband, her ex-husband, had had her arrested and put in jail. So we called him, and the arraignment was the next morning. They had several children. We found a babysitter and everything. And I think she had children, and he had children. They had a baby together, and so we found a babysitter. And so we went down, and we sat in the court with him all morning long, and we talked the whole time. And if you've ever been to an arraignment, but sometimes it can get very lengthy, and there's time to talk, and you're just sitting there. So we kept talking, and I said, well, tell me about yourself. And so at some point, I said, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? And he said, yes, I'm saved. I was saved when I was 11 years old. We went to church all the time when I was little. And then he stopped, dead silence. And he goes, but you know, now that I think about it, because I said, well, what happened? He said, now I think about it, I was 11 when my mom and dad got divorced. And we went ahead and went to church for a little bit after that, and then we just quit going to church. We have an adult child of divorce who's now a dad, who's been through two marriages, and children, and another marriage is on the probably going to fall apart. He's just had his wife arrested, and she's in jail, and probably seeing another divorce come along. But he is a baby Christian. See, his mother pulled away from the Lord, who he lived with. He then, because she did, pulled away from the Lord. He believes that he's saved, but he doesn't have a faith walk. And I come across this all the time. Some more legacy, understanding adults in a divorce process. Many adults, I can't remember, I think it's maybe 62% of Barna's research, leave the faith of their parents. And my children are struggling, actually, with that right now, too, trying to figure out where they belong in a church realm, what denomination, where they fit. And many of these children are frozen in a time warp spiritually. And that was my friend I was sitting in the arraignment with. He was frozen at 11 years of age in his spiritual walk. I have another friend who's 60, just turned 60 in June. And his mom divorced when he was real little. And she said to me, you know, whenever Frank was little, she said, I had to move around a lot. I didn't have any child support, and we lived in these little apartments. And she said, everywhere I went, Frank would look around, and he would find a church. And he would walk to that church, and he would drag his two little brothers with him to church. Now, he is 60 years old. He's saved. We've talked about that. Every once in a while, he prays when there's something that happens that he wants to go to the Lord. He does not have a faith walk. He attends church every once in a while. Again, he's frozen in a time warp. In Elizabeth Marquardt's book, she tells the story of adult children of divorce remember as a child sitting in the back of the church where all the two-parent families and children sat at the front of the church. And they sat at the back of the church and did not feel included in the worship service, and particularly when their parent didn't come. And I know I was in a church that I was a small church, the only divorced person. I didn't even want the divorce, for Pete's sakes. But it is a different dynamic for you. Now, part of it was my perception. But it was my perception. You get it? You have a perception. It was my perception. And I just wish somebody would have reached out at the time and helped me with that. But, you know, I was hurting and was not thinking clearly. So I praise God that I was raised in a strong Christian home and I worked through it, and that the Lord is using my life now. And all the mistakes I made, I hope you guys don't make those mistakes. But many adult children of divorce stop going spiritually, and the relationship between Christ and His bride is affected. And what is the church? You know, that's Christ's bride, the church. But these children, adults, cannot even begin to understand that because they don't understand that commitment, that level of unconditional love. So what is going to happen to our churches if we don't start reaching out to some of these adults that are going to be in your singles department? I hope they're going to be in your singles department. Here's Barna's research. He, George Barna, he studied adults who are divorced. And what they said was, in the church, people stop calling them. They'll call for a few months, they stopped calling. The people didn't, adults did not feel comfortable in church any longer. I've had adults tell me, I understand a big D on my forehead. I don't feel, it doesn't make any difference. God still loves you. But I understand where they're coming from. And they underwent profound spiritual confusion. I don't know if any of you have done that. I don't think I experienced spiritual confusion because I was smart enough to know that God doesn't create any puppets on the string. He gives everybody a free will. And I did have people come to me and say, now, if you would just pray harder, he would come back home. If you would just lay that at the foot of the cross and had enough faith, he'd come back home. And they said that to my children, too. And I was smart enough to know that I just wanted to reach up and slap them, but I didn't do that.
But violate some basic theological tenets. But
yeah. They do. And if you don't know and you've not been raised in a church environment, that's going to affect how you feel about it. So I can't understand that. Many children of divorce go, where do I belong? Where do I belong? I don't fit anywhere. Let me read you this little clip out of The Switching Hour. This is a brand new book, and it is an incredible book. If you want to affect ministers and church leadership, have them buy this book. It was written by Yvonne Fleshberg, and it's all about when children go through the switching hours. So let me just read this to you because I can't tell it like she does. It starts out the introduction to this chapter. I liked yesterday, I don't like today, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. He looked at me with dark brown eyes, wide and sorrow-filled, as he slowly and emphatically spoke those words. Life as he knew it for 7 short years was over. There was no going back, no way to change what had happened. Mommy and Daddy got a divorce. Neither he could do anything about it. There was nothing I, his counselor, could do about it. Nothing his mother, who sat on the couch beside him with tears sliding down her cheeks, could do about it. He liked yesterday. He doesn't like today. And there's nothing anyone can do about it. The years of the switching hour had begun. Now Jimmy has 2 homes, 2 sets of parents, 4 adults who tell him what to do instead of 2, and he will have to say goodbye again and again and again. Now, if you don't think that doesn't affect a kid when they become adults, it does. Read this book. It's a very dynamic book. So, the switching hour. Now, are you imagining some of your adult children divorced in your singles ministry? Are you beginning to see some of the history of where they've been? I think they should be congratulated for coming to church and coming to different events that the Lord has. So where do the children belong? Some kids belong over here with their mother, or do they belong with their father? Here's what I see. These kids are put in the middle, and they are literally torn apart. Look at that. And they try to hold everything together, try to hold mom, try to hold dad. So I go over here and I go to my mom's church, and they believe like this. And the next Sunday, I go to my dad's church, and they believe this minister sends something different. And then I go visit my grandma, and she says, and I go visit my other grandma and grandpa, and they say, we don't have to go to church. We can worship God out on the lake, and they always take me out on the lake. And so this child is pulled from one direction to the other. That is not God's design for a child to have to be pulled and question, where do I belong in a church environment? I just wish we could put it on every church door or minister's office so they have to keep thinking about this child and where they look at the parents, see how they're fighting and everything's. And I just, it's sad, very sad. So where do these children belong? Torn between 2 homes? Torn between 2 lifestyles? How does a single adult figure out what they want their lifestyle to be when you have one person doing this and one person doing that? Many single dads were raised by a single mom who stayed faithful in the Lord. A single dad who went out and partied all the time, remarried again and again and again. How do you figure out what your moral values are going to be? How do you figure out what a marriage is going to be? How do you even begin to look? I was in, got stuck in Memphis, Tennessee a few weeks ago, and doing some research on teens. And so you can pick them out in the airport. I travel a lot, and especially spring break and summertime. You can pick these kids out because they've got tags on them, and they're traveling alone. And so this one airport lady had 5 kids with her. And so I was talking to these teenagers, asking questions, and there was that one kid sitting over there, and he just looked. He just kept staring at me. And so I was sitting here, it's probably from here to that chair over there. So I looked up, and I said, are you traveling alone? He said, yeah. And I go, mind if I talk to you a little bit? And he goes, no. And I had watched him out of the corner of my eye watching. He was watching me ask all these kids questions. I said, you know what I'm asking? Yeah, you want to talk about kids whose parents are divorced? I said, yes. I moved over next to him. His name was Daniel. And we talked. And I said, what do you think the biggest problem being 17 years old with your parents divorced? He said, you know, I live with my mom. And then my dad wanted me to live with him. So I went with my dad. But he drinks all the time. And he has a lot of different girlfriends. And so I moved back with my mom. Now I'm going to visit him. And he's mad at me all the time. And my biggest... I said, what's your biggest fear growing up? He said, my biggest fear is I don't have girlfriends because I'm scared to have a girlfriend because I don't know how to have a relationship. And I don't know if I'll ever get married because I don't know how to be married. Because my parents were not married. They didn't... And I don't know how to do this. I said, do you go to church? He said, yeah, I go to church with my mom. And then when I come down here, I go to church sometimes with my dad. And I said, what denomination? He didn't even know what denomination. He just knows that he goes to church sometimes. And when he has to go see his dad, he has to fly from, I think, Nevada to North Carolina or somewhere like that. This is a fear. This kid is 17. He's a senior in high school. We need to pray this kid get into a singles ministry in a church. Because this is his hope. This is his future that we're going to have to help him with. So these kids do get torn between lifestyles, between religious beliefs. Divorce changes religious beliefs and it changes habits. You know, marriage is one of the few institutions originated by God. And God's purpose was clear. The relationship between a man and a woman in the marriage state is designed to mirror the relationship between Christ and his bride. You can find that in Ephesians 5:22 and 25. And I had said that earlier. I just want you to keep that in your mind, that many times when single adults come to your singles class, they don't have the perception and understanding. So here's some pitfalls that you're going to may find with single adults in your singles ministry. A couple of years I did this workshop and I had several young adults in my class, and they came because they wanted to see what I had to say about singles in the single adult ministry. And they verified every one of these. They came in kind of belligerent, but it was a really healing time for them. They figured out they were not alone. They weren't the only one that felt this way. So here's what you're going to see, and they verified every one of these. Many of your single adults, not all, but many of your single adults are going to hide their emotions. They almost shut down when they come into your church environment. Some of you are nodding your head. You might have seen that in your singles ministry. Many of them have regressions from childhood. So anytime something comes up that triggers something in their brain, then they go back to that time. And my daughter's a good example, and I hope she never listens to this tape, but she's getting better. But her dad was the apple of her eye when she was little, which is God's design, you know. And then when he went through the divorce, when he left, when she was 12 and 13 and 14, it hurt her deeply, and she has a lot of anger toward her dad. And for years, she wouldn't even call him dad. She called him Jerry. Well, now, finally, after all these years from 85 to now, she's finally, within this past year, beginning to call her dad, dad. But she still gets very angry at times. And she has a wonderful husband to help her through this time. But just think, if you're a single adult and something triggers that anger, you have nobody to go home to. So you go home alone, or you get snubbed in the adult ministry. You may not really get snubbed, but it's your perception. It's how you see it, how you feel. So they did have regressions from childhood. Yes, ma'am.
We're working with divorce for kids, and that was one of the things that surprised me, is how honest they are with their emotions. You know, like when you're doing the workbook page or you're doing the art project, they'll say things that just break you up, mm-hmm. you know, about how they really feel. And it always shocked me because I expect them to hide their, you know, when you work with older people that have gone through divorce. So when do they start hiding it?
I think,
or is it the situation? Is it because it was a safe place to talk about it? And
that's part of it.
Can we find a safe place for them to?
I'm not. I don't want to do a Divorce Care for Kids commercial, but just briefly, it's a 13-week program for children whose parents are divorcing, and it's for 5 to 12-year-olds, and they're mixed age. So we replicate a family, and they take on responsibilities, and they do jobs and everything. And the first thing that they're told when they come in is, this is a safe place for you. Mm-hmm. It's a neutral place. Yes, over and over. And all of our leaders are called safekeepers. We don't call them teachers or leaders. We're safekeepers. And the big number one rule is, I'm the safekeeper. I'm here to keep you safe. And your job is to help me keep things safe. And we talk about confidentiality. We won't let the parents read their workbooks. We want to create a safe place. And that's what happens. They get in there and they feel safe. And honestly, I thought it'd take 2-3 weeks, maybe 6 weeks for these kids to start opening up. Oh, no. I mean, the first night, they're just blurting everything out. They are telling you their life history. It's amazing. So I'm not sure when they start closing down, because we don't know what's going to happen to these children that are going through DC4K. I hope it's good outcomes, and that's how we've developed the program for good outcomes, and we certainly hope as they learn to express themselves when they're little. But see, many of these children don't learn to express themselves when they're in a divorced home, because if I come home and I get... A lot of children will not get angry at the parent they live with, because they're so afraid that parent will leave them too. So the custodial parent takes a brunt of all the anger and everything, because the other parent always want to present the good side to them, you know, so they can keep going to that other parent's house. So I think kids just gradually learn to hide their emotions. And so we hope with DC4K they will continue to express themselves. The emotional attachment comes and goes, and I've had a lot of adult children tell me this. And you'll see this in your singles ministry. Have you ever had somebody coming, got real active, and they want to do this, and they volunteer to lead this project and to set up this social, and they're real active, and you count on them, and then all of a sudden you look around, they're not there anymore? Have you seen that? It's because it comes and goes. And like he said a while ago, commitment. They don't know how to commit. See, we've raised a whole generation of entitlement issues. These kids are entitled to everything. And then they don't know how to commit and carry through. And many of them will carry hostile feelings into your single adult ministry. Many of them will refuse to discuss their past. And I'm not saying this is right or wrong. I'm just saying this is what's happened. It's the past, get over it, move on. But sometimes there's issues from the past that will affect your marriage or your relationship that you're going into. Many of them cannot recognize their fears. They just blunder forward. They don't understand unconditional love. And I just want to make a little side note here. If you work with children... Please, 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 please hear me out. Take them off of reward systems. Church should not be a place that a child comes and learns about conditional love. And it's always the same kids over and over and over again who don't get the stickers, who don't get put their hand in the treasure box, they don't get the pizza Friday at school. And if you set them up on attendance charts, you're going to lose the second week. And so why even try? I believe reward systems teach children conditional love, and I think that carries over to God's love. We are not teaching children God's unconditional love. So I just get on my soapbox every once in a while. But that affects adults when they get singles and they get to be adults. Forgiveness for many children is foreign. They have a hard time forgiving. I asked my daughter, we're talking one day, and I said, have you ever forgiven your dad? She goes, you know, Mom, I did forgive my dad. I know it seems like I didn't, but I have forgiven my dad. But you know what really bugs me, and it still bugs me, and that's what I'm having trouble getting over. It's my problem. She said, when I was a teenager, every other week having to pack up my life and move, when I wanted to be with my friends, which is God's design for teens. They come to parent and they pull away, and then they come back and they pull away until they eventually move out on their own. And she said, I didn't get the divorce, but I had to pay the price for what my father did. And it affects them. And she would have been terrible. She went to church, was real faithful. After high school, she really had a slump where she wouldn't go to church, she wouldn't talk, she wouldn't pray. You know, she does now. She prays all the time, but there was just a period there that she wouldn't. So forgiveness is foreign. Yes, ma'am.
There's a fine line between forgive and forget, isn't it?
Yes. And And why are you going like this?
Because, you know, sometimes you think, you know, that you have forgiven somebody for something, but then you realize, well, maybe I've just kind of forgotten it a little bit, but I really haven't. You know, it is.
Well, and I tell adult children of divorce, you don't forget. It doesn't say in the Bible you have to forget. It says you have to forgive. Use what happened to you and learn from it and move forward. You don't have to forget that you found out your dad had an affair. You can use that in your own life to help you not do those things because you know all the people that were affected. So that's a good point. And many adult children of divorce have few interpersonal skills. They don't know how to get along in groups. I talked to a lot of adult children of divorce about, I talked to their spouses, and I said, what do you think when ministers are working with adult children of divorce in the singles ministry, and they're talking about getting married, what do you think, how do you think the minister should approach this? So I talked to the spouses, and this is what the spouses said. Well, I don't know if this is familiar or unfamiliar to you or your counseling that you do, so I hope you learn a little bit from all this, and please feel free to chime in. Overall, the spouse needs to know the family background. They need to know when the divorce occurred. They need to know how it affected. My son-in-law and I talked a lot. We talked a lot right after him and my daughter got married. And I said to him, if you want your children to have a relationship with their grandfather, it's going to have to come from you, young man. And he is great at that. He has calls Julie's dad almost every week, and he is the one. I hold him in high esteem for helping mend that relationship. But he wants his children to know both grandparents. What was the family life like after the divorce? Was there a coming together, a cohesiveness? Did the family still continue to do things? Were there vacations? Did the mom or dad, whoever the child lived with? You know, what was that like after the divorce? Also, ministers need to help the spouses or potential spouses understand past relationships. You know, God's design. I remember my son was, after his dad left, he came one day and he goes, you know, Mom, I figured out that Dad loves Julie more than me. And I was going, wait a minute. He goes, no, let me finish. But you love me more than you love Julie. I said, oh, let's talk about this for a minute. See, God's design is for little girls to be attached to their father because that's the role model for them when they grow up of who they're going to marry. And the same thing for little boys. You and I are real attached. It doesn't mean I love you more or less. I love both of you the same amount. But you and I are, and I said, I already see you beginning to pull away. And that's God's design. As you get older, you want to be with your dad more. You want to do those dad type things. But right now, I'm role modeling for you. And when you get married, a lot of people will marry, men will marry somebody like their mother because that's what they're accustomed to. And so, oh, now I understand, see, but in his little mind, thank goodness we had an open enough relationship, he could come talk to me about that. Well, a lot of kids never get that picture. So we do need to let the spouses know what relationships were like after the divorce. Yes, sir.
One comment in teaching singles, there's a delusion of disassociative development. And that relates to the family background, family life after divorce, and understanding past relationships. They think they're on this island of the past, and now they're going either into adulthood or something else, and they don't think that will affect them, and it does. So to make it sound scientific, it's the delusion of disassociative development. Because it's a delusion, and they've think they've disassociated themselves, and they haven't.
And they haven't developed. A lot of them are developmentally delayed, period, in a lot of areas of their life. Not just in their relationships. Also help the spouses, thank you for that technical terminology. A lot of spouses need to understand the big fear that these adult children of divorce have, and that is, abandonment. Many married adult children divorced fear, abandonment. And that comes from from Judith Wallerstein's study. She studied children for 5 years and wrote a book called Surviving the Breakup. She studied the same 131 children for 15 years and called it Second Chances. She studied the same 131 children. Every year she would go visit these kids and do this study. She's just in Southern California, Judith Wallerstein. She did a 25-year study, and that's what it's called. I think I put it in your references in your book. And that's one of the big issues that she found, is when they get married, they are so worried. If the person is just a few minutes late, they're panicking. Did they leave me? Are they coming home? It's just an abandonment issue. It's not that they're going off somebody else. It's just total abandonment issue. It just comes from where? From their childhood. So it's always there. It always lives with them, period. Pastoral helps. Adult Children Divorce have told me it helps if the pastor has experienced divorce. Not that he has to have been through divorce, but that he understands divorce and that he understands where I'm coming from. Maybe a friend, maybe a relative, but he understands divorce. And I tell you, a lot of pastors don't understand divorce. And I'm not saying they have to be divorced. I'm in the Baptist denomination, and we don't have divorced pastors. I mean, that's just not done in our denomination. And we're gradually, I belong to one small Baptist church in Youngsville, North Carolina, and I play the piano for the early service, and then I go to another church, and so I'm like in two churches right now. And so both of those churches understand. My second church is an adult child of divorce, and he's a pastor. His name is Dr. Brad Reynolds. The other one of the church leadership is divorced. And that's a question when I go in to church: do you guys have an understanding of divorce? Is anybody in this church divorced? Do you allow people to serve that have been divorced? Because I've been in churches, they wouldn't let me play the piano or serve because I'm a divorced woman, even though I'm remarried now. So these adult children of divorce want to know if the pastor understands divorce. And one of them said to me, it only takes one pastor to destroy a life for years, even in your singles ministry. And then another comment they made was, help me to relate to Heavenly Father, because I have a hard time understanding the Heavenly Father. And this is particularly true if the father left the home. You know, as little children, God's design for us was the closest thing we can come to understanding a God and a Heavenly Father is our relationship with our earthly father. And then our earthly father walks out the door. And most small children, and many teenagers, take the divorce as it's their fault. And little kids have weird, weird thinking, you know, like if I'm over here and I'm running the car up against the wall and Daddy says stop that, and the next day I'm running the car against the wall and Daddy says stop that, and I get in trouble, and the next day I'm running the car against the wall and Mom and Dad are fighting and Dad walks out the door, for the rest of my life, I think it's because I ran the car against the wall that Daddy left. I didn't empty the trash. I didn't make my bed and Mom left. I knew one little boy that had his coat on when he came in from playing. His mom said, go put your coat up, and he just sat down on the couch, and that's when she told him she was leaving. 6 months later, summertime, this kid will not take his coat off. And I talked to him about it, and when his mom comes home, he's taking his coat off because he wants her to see him take his coat off. Because he thinks that's why she left. So help these children relate to Heavenly Father. Went too fast. Okay. A lot of adult children divorce say, change your approach to sermons. Not that they want you to change the sermon, and that's not what we're saying at all, but my daughter said, you know, Mom, every time we went to church, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and they preached on families, I always felt left out. Because they always talked about two-parent families, and we were in a family. Now, they didn't feel like they're in a family at first. The first Easter after their father left, we were going up to church, and we drive up, and Brian goes, what's Roger doing? It was one man in our church. I said, I don't know, he's got a camera or something. So we parked and get out of the car, and he says, hey, Brian, bring your mom and sister over here. I'm taking family portraits. And my daughter screams, don't you know, we don't have a family? And she goes running in the church. And I'm like, I am aghast that she screamed. I mean, I don't know, that anger just, whoo, it just popped out. And Roger said, Brian, bring your mom over here and let your picture. Well, he was just as deadly, but he was very quiet. He said, don't you know our dad left? I guess you didn't know our dad left. We don't have a family anymore. And he goes the other way. And they leave this mom staying in the parking lot. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I didn't know my kids felt that way. You know, and I thought about her in church, and the afternoon I went home, and I prayed about it, and I called a family meeting, and I said, we need to talk, guys. And Brian goes, I know, we were rude this morning to Roger, Mr. Roger, I'm sorry. I go, no, we need to talk. See, we have a family. Brian goes, Mom, look around. There's no dad in this home. I go, but son, we have a family. It's called a single parent family, and we have a father in this family. It's God, our Heavenly Father. And my son was such a little smart aleck, he wouldn't let it drop. He goes, well, I want somebody with skin on when I that I can talk to. But it was a great chance to talk to him about how you talk to God and how God answers you. And we had a wonderful discussion about that. And all through med school, when he was going to take his, whatever you call that test they have to take, I forget my name, the name of it. But anyway, we prayed about that. My kids to this day will call me and go, Mom, I have this coming up. Pray for me. I have a presentation. Pray for me tomorrow. They both have a strong faith walk. But see, there was that time there that they didn't feel part of a family unit. And I understand that. So when you're doing sermons, tell your pastors when they're doing sermons not to forget the single parent family. And it's the same for widows and widowers. They tell me that too. So include the single parent family. One Bible story that adult children divorced have the hardest time with, and this is out of Elizabeth Marquardt's study, is the prodigal son story. Because they will tell you, I didn't leave. My dad left, or my mom left. They can't relate to that story. So when we were putting DC4K together, that was one story. I prayed and prayed and prayed about how to approach that with the kids. So this is how we approach it with the kids. We don't want to change the meaning of the story. When we talk to the little kids, we say, this young man was of age where he could go and live on his own, and he went to his dad, and he wanted to get his inheritance so he could do that, and we'd tell him the story. And there was nothing the dad could do. It was not the dad's fault that his son wanted to leave. The son wanted to leave, and he was an adult. And then we talked about how the brother stays and helps and takes care of the dad, and then the son comes home, and the father's so excited, he runs out to greet him, and then we relate it to this. See, the father still loves the son that stayed with him. But he also loves this other son. The father in the story has a right to love both sons. You, as a child, have the right to love both parents. And when one of your parents, the one that left and you feel like doesn't love you anymore, when he wants to return to your love, not return to the home, but he wants to return to your love, you have a right to allow that to happen. And that's what God wants to happen. He wants you to love both parents. And the other brother that got mad, that's kind of like the parent that you live with. Because they feel like they've taken care of you and been loyal, and they might get a little bit jealous, but you have a right to love both parents. And then we go on from there. So I think there's some different ways that we can approach this when we're teaching this and we're teaching the scripture. So think about the prodigal son story. That's the main one that causes so many problems. So when you're, as a pastor, and you're working with a lot of people in your congregation, and by the way, I hope there are a lot of divorced people in your congregation. I hope there are a lot of children of divorce, because that is the norm, unfortunately, anymore. So help them to really understand forgiveness. Now, this is interesting. One young man said, he's an adult now, he's in his 40s, how could I learn about forgiveness when there were church squabbles going on and I watched as adults would not forgive each other in the church? Wow. Think about that one for a little bit. When we have these church fights as adults and arguments, what are you projecting to the children in your group? Understand, help me understand God will not forsake me. And help me understand the Holy Spirit. Talk to me about this. Give me Bible studies and teach me to pray. And another thing they said that I thought was very interesting was, hold your congregation together. I was like, what? Hold your congregation together. Tell your ministers not to take sides in the divorce. And it's going to be hard. But you've got to hold your congregation together. And when congregations take sides, it affects the child sitting on the back row. You're nodding your head. That must be true for you. It affects the child because these children are way beyond their years and observations. They have to be. They learn to observe adult behaviors very quickly. So work with your congregation, and the gossip's got to die down and all that stuff, but that needs to come from the leadership of the church. Teach your church to pray. And one thing, I just think we get into the habit of this hard praying and praying hard enough and things like that. And when we work with children, we pray for the child's safety. We pray for the parent's safety. I will never pray for a parent to come back home. I mean, I'll pray for that, but I will never say to the child, if you have enough faith and you pray hard enough, your parent's going to come home. Because that's setting that child up to fail for the rest of their life with God. And so those are some things I think we have to be careful. But now you may have people in your singles ministry who were raised in that environment, and you're going to have to deal with them in your singles ministry. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm seeing this, I'm still on holding the congregation together, because adult children know that in many cases one parent was more at fault than another. You know, by that time they figured it out. They've worked through it, and as much as they tried to stay loyal to their parent, they've had to face the truth that and the pastor probably knew one parent was more at fault than the other. And you know, what's the pastor supposed to do when he has to support the parent that was wrongly, you know, the spouse that was wrongly treated? I mean, the truth is hard sometimes that one parent is at fault. How do you do that without making the kid feel that, or even, you know, when he gets older, that the
okay.
Church...
Okay, do you have a comment?
There's an issue of church discipline here. There are certain mm-hmm. behaviors that are not supposed to be allowed that still are very common in society, but are immoral.
Right.
And the church has to address that.
Right. But many churches don't address it. They just take sides, and he was right. And you hear the conversation in the parking lot, hear the conversation in the hallway. The kids hear those conversations, too. I was in a church. I was so impressed. We had two young couples. They had children. They became best friends because of the children. Unbeknownst to the one man and woman, one wife was having an affair with the dad of the other family. And these were really prominent leaders in the church. And so when all this came out and the two people moved out of their spouse homes and they moved in together, the church went to them and talked to them. The church leadership went to them and talked to them. And they would not recant. This is what they're going to do. So they removed their membership from the church. They followed the biblical principles all the way. And that really impacted those young children, or two that were preteens. And this is several years ago, and they're teenagers now. But we don't think, you know... Yeah.
Because we had that same situation in church I used to go to. And they did talk to them, but they allowed the erring parent and his new wife to still go to the church with the, you know, the original family. And those poor kids had
exactly.
to watch...
Yeah.
All these babies that's, born to that family and them getting better care than they were getting. And
mm-hmm.
and it was just painful to watch what they were going through all those years of watching, you know, seeing yep. them see that.
Well,
so unfair to them.
They want you, the doctor of divorce, tell me, hold the congregations together. It's important that, you know, this is one family. There's a lot. And these ministers have a lot of people to be responsible for and shepherd. And so all the focus should not be on this divorcing family over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I thought that was... I had never thought of that. But that's what the adult children told me. Mm-hmm. Teach your church to pray. To pray for the safety. To pray for the comfort. To pray for the children. And surround them. Teach your members to minister. I'll never forget, we've been single parent family for several years, and one Friday afternoon this lady called and she goes, you know, I've been praying and reading the Bible, and I've come to the conclusion that if your husband would have died, we would have brought several meals to you by now. And she said, I don't think anybody's brought you a meal. And I was like, no. So she said, well, I have a meal for you tonight. I said, you don't have to. She goes, no, I want, the Lord has really spoke to me, and we should have been walking beside you, and we have not. So, she said, what time do you get home? And I told her, so we drive it, and Brian, my son, goes, what's Miss Harmon doing in our parking lot? I go, she brought us a meal, and he goes, did somebody die? I said, no, well, yeah, your dad and my marriage died. And he goes, Well, why should I? I said, because she wants to minister to us. That spoke volumes to my children. And it, I don't know, it had been years after that. And she just fixed a simple meal, macaroni and cheese, Jell-O, like a kid meal, you know. That spoke volumes. And my children still remember that to this day. So teach your members to minister and to help take care of these single-parent families and the teenagers, the young adults in the family. I just love this verse, and I love the song now that goes with this verse. How great is the love of the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Let me read that again. I messed that up. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. How great is God's love? How deep is His love? And that's what we've got to teach our single adults. We've really got to get these single adults of divorce in our singles ministry. Keep them coming. Minister to them. When they don't show up, give them a call. I know it's tiring, yes, but they need to be ministered to. And remember what he said, they're just reverting back to their childhood and their own perceptions of being left out of the picture whenever they were growing up. So I wanted to keep about 15 minutes for us just to talk, turn this off, and just to talk about that. So any questions about what we presented? I'm going to go ahead and turn this off as soon as I figure that out. Stop.